Mallory, are you on?
Yep, I'm here.
Can you start recording, please?
Yep.
This conference will now be recorded.
Sorry, that was me.
Thank you.
That was me.
All right, welcome everybody to this special Finance Government Operations Committee meeting on April 3rd at 1 p.m. If anyone, this is an admin note, if you're not speaking, please remember to mute your microphone so we're not receiving feedback or have background noises. It'd be appreciated. Start off with roll call. Ms. Glasper?
Yes.
Mr. Goggin?
Here.
Mr. Guy?
Here.
Mr. McCray?
Here.
Michael?
Here. Here.
Mr. Pollard?
Here.
Here. Here. Here.
Mr. Chicano?
Here. Here.
Here. Right. Right. And myself, Mr. Moore, are here. All members are present of the Finance Committee. Picking up a little feedback, please mute your microphones, folks. I appreciate it. Okay, there we go. Let's clear it up here.
Yeah, one of the callers must have it on twice, so I muted that one.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on to the next item on the agenda is public comments. The sheriff mentioned that he'd like to make a comment first off, so Mr. Lakin, if you'd like to go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. I'll be brief. I have to head out of the door here pretty quickly to go to Chicago for a family emergency. I know Major Connor is going to speak a little bit about the situation at hand. I just think that, first of all, I know that there's some discussion and some misleading discussion about the sheriff's office asking for cash payment for comp time that was earned by deputy sheriffs and jail staff during a national pandemic where human lives are being taken. And it is, I'm not certain that I have the words to describe, and I will do my best not to get into the political gutter that Mr. Prinsler has created here for his own political gain. But I just hope that when this is settled, everybody understands, and I'm only going to speak for the members of the Madison County Sheriff's Office, we are not asking for any cash payment, contrary to what our new employee, John Thompson, says. The only other thing I'll say, and I'm sorry because I've got a lot going on here, I hope that each and every one of you stay safe throughout this. You have the opportunity to control the environment that you're around and the people that you go in and maybe have contact with in your family, your extended family. Our employees are not afforded that same luxury. So every person that's involved with Mr. Prinsler's political campaign here for his own benefit and getting into the gutter that he has, each and every time, that you people that support him on this, whenever you see a Madison County Sheriff's Department employee that's wearing a uniform and in harm's way, you should go up at a safe distance, tell them who you are, and let them know that you're opposed to them being treated fairly and equitably during this period of time. Thank you, and I wish every person on this call, and I'm sincere, I wish everybody nothing but the best during this crisis.
Thank you, Chair. Appreciate your comments. Mr. Connor, did you want to speak?
Yes, if I can have the floor, I will speak, if that's okay, or I can do it after you talked about the resolution.
So I'd like to kind of have this under the public comment portion, which I'm going to read some emails that we're receiving. And then I'd like to keep the interaction between the committee and myself as much as possible after that. So if you have something to say now, please do it.
Absolutely. Thank you for this time. On April 1st, 2020, the Madison County St. Clair Record published an article which included statements from Chairman Prinsler and Compliance Manager Thompson. As part of the article, Prinsler and Thompson provided statements asserting that the Sheriff's Office is requesting additional pay for its employees as an incentive for the employees to report to work during the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. These are blatantly erroneous statements. Following are going to be true facts regarding this matter and not the political rhetoric spouted by Mr. Prinsler and Mr. Thompson. On March 16th of this year, Madison County Administrator Doug Hulme sent an email correspondence to various Madison County department heads regarding compensating employees who are not reporting to work. In the email, Mr. Hulme indicated that if an employee is non-essential and is not expected to work from home, he or she will continue to be paid regular wages. In particular, Mr. Hulme indicated that non-essential personnel would receive paid time off, also known as PTO, and that employees would not be required to utilize sick or vacation leave. Mr. Hulme also went a step further and stated any pre-approved leaves, while the employee is told not to report to work for these employees, should also be changed to the PTO pay code. In response to Mr. Hulme's directive that non-essential personnel would continue to be paid regular wages even though he or she was not reporting to work, on March 16th of this year, the Sheriff's Office began providing compensatory time, also known as comp time, to its essential personnel. Essential personnel have the heightened responsibility to report to work and, in fact, are required to do so. The Sheriff's Office began providing comp time based on a past practice of providing equal benefits to essential employees. As an example, when non-essential county employees are told not to report to work due to severe weather, such as snow, but they are still paid regular wages, the Sheriff's Office provides its essential personnel with comp time. As such, when non-essential county employees were recently provided the benefit of being allowed to stay home while being paid regular wages, the Sheriff's Office began providing comp time to its essential personnel pursuant to past practice. The comp time provided to the Sheriff's Office employees is not wages. I'll repeat, it is not wages. Rather, it is time off from work. Employees of the Sheriff's Office will not and have not received additional earnings on their paycheck as a result of reporting to work during the COVID-19 pandemic. During this pandemic, the employees of the Madison County Sheriff's Office are risking their lives on a daily basis. These employees, like the nurses, doctors, and healthcare workers, are heroes. Hence, in an effort to ensure that the Sheriff's Office employees were not penalized for continuing to work, reporting to work, they were provided the same benefit as a non-essential employee in the form of comp time. Further, Compliance Manager Thompson's statement, quote, "Each time an employee uses comp time, another employee must fill in by working overtime and earning overtime pay," end of quote, is untrue. The Sheriff's Office manages comp time requests to ensure manpower is covered at the time a request to use comp time is made. Hence, if a comp time request puts the Sheriff's Office in an overtime situation, the comp day is denied. That said, as of March 31st, due to the recently enacted federal laws regarding this, the Sheriff's Office is no longer matching county-awarded PTO with comp time for its essential personnel. To date, the Sheriff's Office has not requested an emergency appropriation to the budget due to COVID-19. The first priority of Sheriff Lakin is to keep the citizens of Madison County, as well as first responders, safe. However, the employees of the Sheriff's Office do not have the option of not reporting to work during this pandemic. Although many county employees are not reporting to work, the Sheriff's Office is still operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to continue law enforcement services to each and every citizen of Madison County. Deputies are still patrolling, investigating crimes, and responding to calls for service, as are our jail officers, who continue to monitor the pretrial detainees of the Madison County Jail. We find it despicable that during this national crisis, Madison County Board Chairman Kurt Prinsler and Madison County Compliance Manager John Thompson are attempting to demonize the Sheriff's Office because it elected to provide equal benefits to its essential personnel. So my question to the committee would be this. We're not asking for any money. So first of all, what is the actual purpose of this resolution? But I want you to know that we are not against PTO. Our issue is the political involvement that Prinsler and his staff have made this at a critical time in everyone's life. And also on this resolution that was prepared, you probably need to change the word sheriff because you misspelled it. Thank you.
All right. Would anyone else from other departments that are part of this resolution like to speak up?
Yes, this is Tom Gibbons from the state's attorney's office.
Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, ladies and gentlemen. Just wanted to report to the committee on a couple of matters. First of all, I've sent an email to each of you, which hopefully you've received in follow-up to last month's Red Zone review, wherein it was indicated that the state's attorney's office was operating over salary budget, and to give you the good news that, in fact, after a review of all of the numbers, all of the budgeted amounts, and all of the expenditures, that, in fact, the state's attorney's office continues to operate under budget and has done so throughout this entire fiscal year. So hopefully you'll be pleased when you see that report in your email box. As it relates to this specific resolution at hand, I just want to advise the committee that there are some errors in the calculations on that as it relates to the state's attorney's office. We had support staff members that were working overtime at a trial. We were trying a cold case murder in Jersey County of a citizen.
You break it up.
Of Madison County that was kidnapped here and murdered there, and providing assisting resources. And so quite a bit of the time that's being accounted for there was actually time that was being counted, was actually being clocked, time worked by my employees who could have claimed overtime, but in fact were willing to take comp time instead of that. So that's why you'll find those numbers in there. And I'm happy to sit down with the committee at some point or the chair or whoever and go through those fights specifically. Just want to let you know that some of the amounts that are reported on that reports do not relate to any COVID-related activities or absences. For the ones that do, for those that I made the decision to allow that, this committee is now has heard from the sheriff's office, and of course, as you are all well aware, we are all well aware that the county essentially sent everybody home and told them they were all going to get paid. And so what we did in order to ensure that we could continue our operations is that I bargained with the union as to my specific staff, and we had a very nervous staff, as I'm sure you all are, as I see none of you are sitting here at the county building like I am. And so everyone was very nervous about coming into work. Very understandably, we're all concerned at this time for all of our safety. And so in order to ensure that I would have adequate staff, because they had the right to stay home, I bargained with them and provided an incentive that lasted 2 weeks for those of them that agreed to put themselves at a greater risk and continue to come in contact with others at the workplace, people coming into the workplace that we're required to do through our work. So that was the reason why we did that. It was a temporary accommodation, which has now ended. But certainly people were being asked to do more than they were required to do by the essential countywide stay-at-home order. And so that was how we remedied that, by providing an incentive to our staff, and we were able to get enough staff members to come in. So I thank you very much for your time and opportunity to explain our position.
Thank you, Mr. Gibbons. Anyone else from the auditor or recorder's office?
Yes, this is Amy Meyer, recorder's office. First, I would just like to thank all of the essential workers and the people that put in the time and effort to keep our government going during this crisis. I think we need to make sure that they are remembered, the people on the front lines. And I would also just second what Mr. Gibbons said and what Sergeant Connor said with regard to the understandings for the payroll. The other thing that I would like to report is that the recorder's office has been deemed essential by Governor Pritzker in the order, and anybody that takes a look at the economy and sees the interest rate cuts to 0% can understand that our office has been flooded with documentation pertaining to that. And so we have had overtime, and basically what we have done. Hello? Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. And so we have had some overtime just related to document flow. We may have more in the future. But what we did basically was provide for remote locations to as much of our staff as possible for their safety, and in accordance with the guidelines that were issued by Mr. Prinzler himself. And so, which is, if you can stay at home, stay at home. And the ones that were not able to, I certainly think that they should be compensated for that. And I do want to say that for, you know, we in our office, as far as the flow of our documents, we never had a stop of our operations. They continued. And at this point in time, our ability to process is at a 24-hour turnaround. And so we're accommodating people as well through searches. And we have most likely increased, well, we have increased the subscriptions for our online searches, which will be more revenue for the county in the long run. And so I just think that, you know, in many ways that this is related to just the cost involved with the national crisis and the various responses that the offices have to it. So, thank you.
All right, thank you. Is Mr. Fasten or someone from the auditor's office available or wish to make a comment? All right. Thank you very much for your input.
Don, I think they're on the public side. I think I can hear Rick trying to talk on the public bridge. He needs to call in to the 312 number that was distributed.
Hey, Ron, are you there? Ron?
Yes.
Is there anything you do to help Mr. Fasten get plugged in?
He's got to call in. He has to call in to the bridge, that 312 number, to be able to speak on here. The public line is it sounds like they're on the public line.
I just sent an email to Jennifer to tell him to do that.
Okay, thanks.
To see
Vanessa.
If that could get through to him.
Okay, let me kind of have like a productive stall here then for a few minutes until Mr. Fasten or his representative can plug in. Appreciate Mr. Gibbons pointing out that there may be some difference in numbers. Mr. Hume, I wonder if you could maybe contact State Attorney's office and find out what the differences are. And I know these numbers, I believe, came from Craig Edwards and payroll. So if we need to revise these numbers, please do.
Understood.
And for anyone listening out there,
Mr. Moore, this is Jeff Connor again. If you're going to have them revise those numbers, then the request for benefits to be approved for the upcoming payroll should be zero. This contract does not cost the county anything.
Chairman, I'm on now.
All right, Mr. Fasten, please go ahead. I don't know if you were listening earlier.
Yeah, I was up until this last speaker here. I was.
Okay, please, interested in any comment you may have at this time.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to echo what I think the sheriff said, that we follow the directive from Mr. Hume, who sent that directive to us, I guess, about a week ago. But anyway, we are not expending any taxpayers' dollars. Well, I'm going to give comp time down the road for people that have come in. We operate with a skeleton crew, and we're following the directive. But there will not be any taxpayers' dollars expended here. Now, in saying that, I've got a concern about some other things here, about this being politicized for Mr. Prenzler's benefit to divert attention away from another political hire that was just made with a non-qualified individual. Now, we're spending taxpayers' dollars on this, and we're incurring lawsuits that, as I sit here today, the litigation expense, and we're just scratching the surface on the first lawsuit, is in the neighborhood of $200,000, and that's going to rise. So we need to conduct business, and Kirk Prenzler needs to put politics aside and do his job. And that's all I've got to say, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Fassett. All right. At this time, I guess I can go into and ask for a motion to approve this resolution. And if we can get that in a second, then we can go into discussion for the committee members. So I ask for a motion to approve resolution to approve additional comp time and benefits outside of county collective bargaining agreements by auditor, state's attorney, sheriff, and recorder during COVID-19 response. Can I have a motion, please? I see muted county members, committee members. So I don't have a motion to discuss this resolution.
Don, I had a question. Is there not any public comment? I thought you said you're going to read some comments. Is there not any?
Oh, yes, that's right. That would be a good idea to do first. Yeah, thank you. So it looks like we did receive some comments from the public. I'm going to have to bore you with reading them. But there are five comments and one question. So six different inputs. I'll start off with Terry Davis Newman. Can everybody hear me okay? If not, please let me know. Terry Davis Newman, she wrote that, "I find this to be appalling. Many in Madison County are losing their jobs, and these greedy government workers are using this health emergency to pad their paychecks. They should be ashamed of themselves, particularly when there are almost no COVID-19 infected people in Madison County." The second comment is from a Robert G. Myers. "I agree with Chairman Prenzler. No one should benefit from this while many are out of work. It is a shameless and cowardly action on the part of those seeking extra remuneration." Third comment from Agena Shaw. "I look forward to hearing reasons why the extra pay and comp time was requested. Although I appreciate our county employee service, my hope is that our county funds would not be taken advantage of, especially in a time of national, state, and local financial distress. We need to be more frugal and ever and considerate of all fellow citizens' welfare." Fourth comment from Steve Springer. "It is absolutely disgraceful that Madison County public employees would even think about asking for comp time or overtime pay when they are able to work. Many in the community have been forced to stay home from work and have suffered financial hardships at this time, but will still be required to pay their taxes, which pay county employees wages/salaries. Shame on you." Fifth comment from Bonnie Hartman. "Respectfully, I request that the request for extra pay for the state and Madison County departments being discussed at this special meeting be strongly opposed," all caps. There are not adequate descriptive words to express how disgusting and descriptive rationale and scope of this request is at a time of a national pandemic and statewide threat. It is beyond my comprehension as to how and why these leaders/individuals believe that they're paid work to serve such compensation. My comments are not intended to take anything away from the purpose and provision of the work they are doing. It is important. It is the job they willingly chose to do. It is a paycheck to support their families. It is a job they can choose to accept or reject. This request is, more importantly, an insult to the many Madison County citizens who have no work and no pay during this crisis. This request is also an insult to the frontline healthcare professionals and support staff doing their best, often literally in the face of those who may be positive or carriers of the COVID-19 virus, because it is a job they chose. Please defeat the proposed requests. The last input is an informal question from Heather Israelhauser Javillo. I'm not going to be able to answer all of her questions, but she starts off with, I'm curious how many employees in each of the four county offices the additional compensation applies to. I did get a response this morning, and Heather, if you're listening, I have it broken down by department and then total. Sheriff Admin, 106. Sheriff Jail, 58. State's Attorney, 11. Recorder, 10. Auditor, 8, for a total of 193 employees. She also asked if those county offices are able to provide additional compensation to employees who work in person, does that mean for the rest of the county departments? Would any county employee then be able to make a request for comp time or more pay? Finally, it may still be too early to know, but how has the COVID-19 emergency affected the county's financial standing? For example, there was probably a significant dip in sales taxes. And do you have any recommendation how the public can help keep the county's economy circulating while still complying with the governor's stay-at-home order? Unfortunately, Heather, those kind of qualitative, we need qualitative answers to those two questions, but I provided you the hard numbers that was given to me. So that is the input from the community under public comment. And moving on to the resolution, I'd like to go ahead and read the whole resolution first, please, given this on the phone and not in person for a lot of folks. But so this is a resolution to approve additional comp time benefits outside of county collective bargaining agreements by auditor, state's attorney, sheriff, and recorder during COVID-19 response. Whereas Madison County is faced with responding to global pandemic of COVID-19, and over 16 residents of Madison County are confirmed cases. I know that number's changed, but that's what's in this resolution. And whereas the governor of Illinois has required the citizens of Illinois to stay at home and to engage in social distancing to fight the spread of COVID-19. And whereas Madison County has taken steps to maintain county operations while engaging in social distancing with employees working from home and limiting operations to essential activities. And whereas because of the state COVID-19 response, many Madison County residents now find themselves unemployed and economically struggling, and businesses throughout the county closed for the foreseeable future. And whereas during this time of great countywide difficulty, the County Board Administration has recognized the need to maintain county employees with regular pay while not adding additional benefits such as comp time for those not working from home. And whereas the county auditor, state's attorney, sheriff, recorder have decided to give additional benefits to employees, including comp time for reporting to work that is not part of a county collective bargaining agreement. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the attached benefits called COVID-19 Additional Benefits Report, detailing the benefits given by the county auditor, state's attorney, sheriff, and recorder, creating a liability of at least $381,026.26, shall be considered, approved, and distributed in the next regular payroll. With that, can I have a motion to approve? Which only leads to a discussion and then a vote. So I see a number of muted county board members, so I'm going to assume that nobody wants to make a motion to approve this resolution.
Don, I would like to speak.
And who is this, please?
This is Mike Parkinson.
I'm trying to get from the committee members to go further with this resolution.
So you're denying a county board member to speak?
If you want to take it that way, Mike, I guess you can. Right now,
you're violating my rights as a county board member to represent the people in my community?
Where were you at during public comment, Mike?
I'm not a public member. I'm a member of this county board. You're denying my right to speak.
You're not a member of this committee. I'm asking for the committee.
You're denying the county board member to speak in a meeting. Is that what you're telling me, Don?
I guess. In fact, I'm going to mute you if you don't.
You guess. Okay. All right, Don. Violate my rights. Go ahead.
I'm asking for the committee to make a motion on this resolution. And if I'm not hearing anything from the committee...
Is there a state's attorney in the room that I can refer to?
Hey, Ron? Ron?
Yes.
Can you please take care of that? Mute Mr. Parkinson?
I'm looking for advice from the state's attorney on whether I'm allowed to speak.
I'm not asking for the state's attorney.
I am, Don. I'm asking for clarification from the state's attorney's office whether you can stop me from speaking as a board member.
What I would recommend, just talk to the chairman and get put on this committee. Then
the meeting will be over by then, Don.
It sure will. Should have thought about that ahead of time.
So this is Don gets to run the world, right? Other board members don't have an opportunity to speak, Don.
I'm asking the committee a question at this time. So again,
the committee. What about other board members, Don?
I'm not asking other board members.
May I have a comment? This is Gussie.
Sure, Gussie.
Okay, thank you, Don. Don, my concern is this resolution is the way that I'm reading it and perceiving it is that these offices are asking for this compensation because of the harm that they are putting themselves in by coming to work. Am I correct on that? And perceiving it that way, that because they are not staying at home, because they are essential employees, and they're putting their lives and that of their families in harm's way, that's why they are asking for this additional pay. Am I correct? And perceiving it that way?
I think, I assume that that's what they're looking at, because they're in harm's way and people are staying home and they're out there on the front lines.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jeff Conner. Can I take a moment to explain to that question?
Yeah, sure. Gussie, is that a question you'd like answered by Major Conner?
Yes, let me hear you. Yes, I would like to hear his comment.
All right, please.
Thank you, ma'am, and that's a great question. This is not about us being on the front line. This is about the resolution says that it... That. I don't know who that was, but this is not about the people working the front line asking for more pay. This is about the order that was sent by Mr. Hulme giving people that are non-essential the day off and our people that are required to work to be compensated for the other employees being off. But the thing is there's no additional pay, and this resolution is worded wrong where it says considered approved distributed for the next regular payroll. There is no income being added to anybody's paycheck because of comp time. This is comp time to be used in the future. And the article that I referred to gave comments from Mr. Prinsler and Mr. Thompson that made it look like we were paying our people more. We are not doing that. So, I just want to make sure that we are not doing that at all.
Okay, I just would like to add that I thought Mr. Thompson explained in the past that he understood this wasn't really an increase in pay as much as it is a liability. It's an expense that is in the form of a liability that at some point in the future it could be paid out. For example, there's only a limited amount of comp time hours an employee can hold during the course of the year. At the end of the year, if he's in excess of that, that can be paid out in the form of cash. So that
you are correct, sir. You are correct. There is a liability if all of those people separated employment right away. That would then be a liability. But we're going to utilize the comp time to be used in the future. That's what we're talking about, that there's a misconception by the administration that this money is going to be paid out. There are $0 being paid out.
Right now.
$0.
Okay. Gussie, you
Mr. Chairman?
You okay with that, Gussie?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Who's that speaking, please?
Robert Pollard.
Yes.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. That I don't know if I'm missing something here, because that's the way I read it. This is all comp time. And it's being stated or distorted, maybe, that this is actually getting paid out of the budget, out of expenditures, which it's not. So I guess, why are we even having this? I mean, it's comp time. If somebody, like just my wife, for example, she's in the auditor's office. Well, she's going to work every single day while others are staying at home. So she was getting comp time. So I think it's to offset people that are at home and getting paid. The people are still coming to work and working there and doing extra work, getting a little something for their extra work and being there in harm's way, quite frankly. You know, so I just, I guess I don't see it the way the administration quite sees it. So I'm just looking for a little clarity there. So
okay,
that's my two cents.
Thank you, Ms. Pollard. I would say that I understand this is mostly a liability on the books right now, but down the road, eventually that could turn into a cash paid out to an employee. I'd like to make a couple comments for myself here. I pulled up the employment application for all Madison County employees, and at the end there is a certification section that they sign and date. And part of that is that states, I understand that some Madison County departments operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that weekend work or change in shifts may be required. In addition, if accepted for employment, I hereby agree to abide by the rules and policies of my employer and accept the established pay period as provided in accordance with the Fair Labor Standards Act. So it seems to me that all employees are asked to agree to certain rules and regulations right then and there, and they understand sometimes there may be a call to perform work beyond what they're usually doing. I would also add that I reached out to my mayor and my police chief and asked them if they were doing anything different during this crisis, and both of them responded that no, that they're not. There's not any form of pay or any kind of benefit changes during this time. I also reached out to a friend of mine who works in the Prince William County Police Department right outside of Washington, D.C. He's been there for 20 years. And he, as of yesterday, him and I talked, and he also said that their department, if they're not making any changes as far as, like, giving any extra benefits or pay or comp time or to any of their employees. So these people, especially the frontline folks, the first-line responders, they sign up knowing that they're there to serve the community. And it whether good times or bad, sort of like a marriage. So even though times are tough, and there's more required of them than normal, and more required of them than some employees that work for the county, it's still something that expected of them, and which they proudly do.
Mr. Moore, this is Jeff Connor again. I understand what you're saying, but first of all, I believe you live in the county, so your police chief would be the Sheriff Lakin. Second of all, I don't know that those cities received an email from their administrator like we did with Mr. Hulme about how to handle the situation. Once the federal law and President Trump and Governor Pritzker put the order in place, effective April 1st, we changed the way we did it because we had direction from the president and the governor. Prior to that, we were using direction from Mr. Hulme and Mr. Prinsler. So, but I want to restate again that there's no cost to the county. At this point, there's no cost to the county. So the resolution says approved and distributed at the next regular payroll is inaccurate information in this resolution. And since nobody has made a motion, I would hope you would just let this die.
Okay, well, since no one has
made a motion. Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Fasten, can I get back to the committee, please?
Yeah.
I've got just a quick comment, if I can.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I think Jeff Connors explained this thing to a T. We simply filed the email. There's not going to be from Mr. Hulme until April 1st when a new directive was put in place. There's no one that I've heard that says there's going to be any monetary remuneration made to employees. And I don't think it's going to be down the road either. It's not my intent to do that. But everyone that I've heard speak has said they filed the email that was a directive from Mr. Hulme, and that was changed on April 1st. So there is no remuneration here in dollars and cents.
Okay, John, this is Doug Hulme. Can I speak to that?
Can you make it quickly, please?
Yeah, real quick. So the County Board Administration is not handing out a bunch of comp time just for showing up to work, okay? We've made that decision. We were asked by AFSCME to consider that. We said no. And this whole business of me sending out an email, giving them cover to give a freebie and to pay people double, it's despicable. And you guys need to look in the mirror and realize during this crisis, you're wasting taxpayer dollars. That's all I got to say.
All right.
Attaboy, Doug.
Mr. Moore,
you need to look in the mirror, too.
Attaboy to you.
Okay. Mr. Moore, can I ask some questions, if that's all right?
Who is this, please?
This is David Michael. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Please.
And I think I'm just want some clarification. I kind of, from Mr. Connors, you provided some good information, and I guess I'm confused. So if you could help me understand. So, and Mr. Fasten as well, you both said in no way will this be paid out, I believe. Is that kind of, you're saying, and under no circumstances does any of this content ever get paid out. Is that right?
No. What I said is that there would be no change in the payroll for the upcoming payroll, which is what the resolution says. What I did say, though, if a person was to separate from the county this week, then whatever comp time is on the books, vacation, sick leave, all that gets paid out to the employee. But as the time goes on, that number that they've thrown out there of $381,000 is only going to get less in the liability because our employees will be using the comp time. A lot of them don't, there's a cap on what they can have. And we manage our comp time to the best that we can to give them the time off. So the part where it's in the next regular payroll is $0.
So I understood on that one. Thank you very much. So I believe, is the cap 240 hours that ought to accrue over? Is that correct in the Sheriff's Department?
Yes, it is. Actually, Mr. Thompson gave other information that was wrong. He said 200 hours in the press release that they put out, but it is 240 hours.
Okay, so let's say I was at 200 hours before this pay period in my career, and then I just accumulated 68 hours, so I'm at 268. So if I don't use those extra 28 by the end of this year, what happens to those hours?
That 68 hours would most likely be paid into a post-employment health plan, which has been set up by the contractual bargaining unit.
So then if it goes to 268 by the end of the year, right, and they can only roll over 240, what happens to the 28 hours, though, is my argument.
I may have misspoke. That is the amount, the 28 hours, is what would go into the post-employment health care plan for the employee.
And does that just go in there every year, anything over 240 until their retirement, and then they get paid out into that post-employment? Is that correct?
That's correct. Well, the post-employment, they wouldn't get paid out. That goes into their personal account. That can only be used for health care.
Okay, only used for health care.
It's a health savings account.
Okay,
yes, it's a post-employment health savings account, so it can only be used after they are no longer employed here.
Correct.
Understood. So it goes into an HSA. So it's compensation, but right, understood. It goes into an HSA. And then I guess similar question then for either Mr. Fasten or I think I heard Jennifer. I saw like a couple of your employees, I believe like one of them has earned 30, 32, and I think can't you only carry over 24 hours? Is that right?
That's correct, but I mean, our intent is to have that used up by the end of the year.
Yeah, we've got 176 hours, I believe, total with all our employees in comp time, David, and our intent is they're going to use it all. We're not going to, again, I'll piggyback on what Mr. Connors said and Tom and everybody else. There is not going to be any monetary remuneration here to employees. They will use that comp time.
So, but if they don't use, if they just earn 32, that's on top of whatever their regular vacation and sick is, which I assume is a few weeks, right? If they don't use that, what happens to the extra 5 or 6 or 8 hours? What happens to that? Does that just go away, or does that get paid out or put into an HSA as well, or what?
Well, that's our intent. They're going to use those hours.
I understand that, and I think I get the spirit of what you're doing, and I think most people, including me, we have a desire to want to recognize the work that people that are doing that are coming in. The problem is that there's not a legal document that says that can put in place your intentions of them using it. So, I mean, if that were the case, we could come to probably an understanding. So perhaps if there was some type of memorandum of understanding that in no way does this ever get paid out, but that it has to be used in the current period, I think maybe there could be an agreement. But we're kind of, well, you're promising us things that we can't, that you don't know if you can 100% fulfill, right? I mean, it's a prediction is what you're telling us.
Well, it's I'd say it's more than
it's a reasonable
it's a reasonable assumption that we're going to use them the comp hours. You know, I mean, that's where this is at. I've got 176. I don't have it personally. I mean, our staff does. And David, I'm telling you, we're going to use it. They're going to use those hours. Now, if I can, I'd like to respond to something that Mr. Jung gets on here, and he's upset and angry. Well, you know what? I got his memo that he sent. So, I mean, he ought to be careful about what directive he sets out and then tries to backtrack later on. But no, to answer your question, they're going to use it.
Okay, so I got back to the, and that helps me just better understand kind of what we're talking about here, because it gets confusing when one, some people are
saying. I will point out to you, David, that the Ask Me contract is not the same as the sheriff's contract. So there is no health savings account for the Ask Me in our office.
Okay. Gotcha. Thanks for that. So all this was just to help me better get my mind around what's going on, because there's a lot of information going back and forth between people, and quite frankly, I don't know what's true and what's not true. But from the sheets, so I think part of the confusion is, too, it does look like some individuals were paid out. If I'm not mistaken, in the recorder's office, there were overtime hours charged, 56 hours, for example, for an employee who also regularly worked 80. So that employee essentially then worked, what, some 70 hours per week almost during those 2 weeks? So did they actually work those hours, or is this some type of, like, hazard pay?
No, they actually worked those hours. We basically retooled our operations, and we moved them out in 2 weeks while we were continuing to operate. And, you know, I stand by those numbers.
Okay, so you had an employee who worked essentially,
thank my staff.
Yeah, no, I understood. So they worked 80 hours and then 56 overtime during this crisis, and then 80 hours and 48 hours overtime for another one. So they got paid an additional $3,500 and $2,200 in the pay period alone. And they actually physically worked those hours.
You bet. I mean, yeah. I mean, I wish that I could illustrate to you what was involved with taking an entire operation that was usually on site to allowing it off site. And I would like to point out, too, when we consider the well-being of our employees, that's a small price to pay for employee safety. The other concern that I have, Mr. Michaels, and it was something that Mr. Fasten brought up, and that is, you know, we do have this directive from Mr. Hill that we all relied on it. It's written there. And now people can come back and say, well, it means something different. But we all interpreted it to mean that, and our employees thought that. So if we're talking about liability, I mean, where does the liability stand if everybody thought they were working for this and now they're not? I mean, I'm curious about that.
Well, I think the spirit of – I haven't seen Mr. Hume's memo. I'm not a daily manager.
I think everybody should take a look at it, though. I mean, that's important because that is the crux of what we went off of in making this determination. And I'd like to point out, too, that with my office, those are not ongoing hours. This was people that put in, you know, blood, sweat, and tears in a short period of time to be able to turn this office into something that could function safely for the employees during this point of crisis. I mean, and we are essential to commerce. I'm sure you know that. The recorder's office, the land transaction, we're essential. And so, yeah, I do. But I am concerned about liability that we would have as a county, even, if we've made promises to employees based on this memo, which seem reasonable, and then we don't follow through with that. I'd like an opinion on that.
Hey, David, this is Doug Hume. Nowhere in that memo does it say to hand out comp time, because people were working in their normal workstations. In fact, Bruce Cooper is on this call who wrote that, who can respond to that. And that's just false. So if Bruce wants to speak to that, go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah,
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Very good. No, there was no discussion in that memo that did not come from Doug Hume. There was no discussion in that memo about paying out comp time. And in answer to Mr. Michael's question, I can tell you that last year, for instance, the auditor's office paid out 46 hours of comp time. So that at least gives a partial answer to one of his questions. That's all I have.
So the auditor paid out 46 hours. I'm sorry, did you say that was last year, Mr. Cooper?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I mean, so this is where it's really frustrating as just, you know, a trustee, okay, which is what we are. I'm trying to gather information to make a decision, and it's like we're being told two completely different things. I hear we don't, you know, everybody uses their comp hours, and then I hear, well, then they paid out 46 hours last year. So it's really frustrating trying to just wrap your head around this in order to make a prudent decision when it feels like we're not given all the data.
David?
Yeah. Yes?
This is Rick. Listen, what Cooper's talking about is a completely different circumstance last year. Now, you go from last year to this year, and I got Doug's memo. He's telling people to stay at home, they're going to get paid. Okay. Now he wants to backtrack on the memo, but I'm telling you that we are not expending any taxpayers' dollars on this situation.
And you're talking about comp time that was earned last year in November during the budget process that there wasn't sufficient time to utilize versus comp time that's earned in April of this year that should be used.
No, understood. I mean, I get that no scenario is 100% apples to apples, probably. But I think from what I understood of Mr. Hewlin's memo, and like I said, I've never read it, but just from what I'm hearing you all say, it sounds like he was basically saying if you have non-essential employees, instead of laying them off and not paying them, cutting off their health insurance, ending their pension costs, right, why don't we try to keep them on? But in order to do that, we all kind of have to be in this together, right? And that means we can't afford to both pay people who are at home. Okay, and like our like if I'm not mistaken, the courthouse is closed, right? So judges are at home and their clerks are at home, and I think probation, a lot of them took a lot of pay time off, right? So how do we both, I guess, pay them, but then also allow all this comp time, which it, at the end of the day, it will add up to a cost, whether it's paid out into an HSA or it's given in the form of a paycheck, which it sounds like it's not given in the form of the paycheck, right? But it will be paid off in an HSA, which I guess for me, I mean, I'm not going to have to worry about it right now, but surely my kids or my grandkids will when these folks retire, right? Isn't that what we're saying? We're kind of just kicking the can down the road in some sort of a way, or no?
David, if I could comment again, we have a situation here that pray to God that we don't look at again. It's a pandemic, a nationwide pandemic, where people are losing their lives.
Right.
You've got a circumstance here that we're trying to adjust to. And hopefully it never comes up again, and by the good grace of God, it never comes up again. But I'm telling you that we're going to have our people use their comp time. We've got 176 hours up here, and I'm sure everybody feels the same way. There's no monetary cost right now, but if they use 176 hours, and I'll just use myself as an example up here, 176 hours, there won't be any cost monetarily to taxpayers, and it'll be used. And again, I can't emphasize enough that I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. This is something that's excruciating for everybody, and we shouldn't have to cross this bridge again.
I've spoken a lot, so I appreciate people's comments, and thank you, Rick, and thank you, Major Connors, and everybody. I'm sure Tom or Jamie or Chris or some other folks want to speak.
Well, I had something, Mr. Chairman. I see you nodding that you're muted. But so my concern is just really the mechanics here of – using comp time in this manner, to really using it as hazard pay, essentially. You know, and when I look at the Fair Labor Standards Act, the definition I see for comp time is that it's to be awarded for hours in excess of 40 in a week. Okay, and that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about it for that first 40 hours. And they do talk in the Fair Labor Standards Act about hazard pay, okay, and there's a way to deal with that, and it's through grossing up the salary. But this, I don't think this is the way comp time is intended to be used anywhere. I can't find any reference anywhere where any government entity is able to give out comp time for that first 40 hours, no matter what the situation. You can't give, you know, snow days or whatever. I just feel that it needs to be looked into, you know, whether we can really do this or not. We need a labor attorney to really look at this and tell us whether, as a county, this is the right thing to do, whether it can be done. And, you know, past practice in the county isn't the right answer. We need a legal answer whether this can be done. So that's all I had, sir.
And Don, if I may. It's Tom McRae, Don. I'm assuming you're on mute. Yeah, you know, I agree with the spirit of sending people home. I think that was something that was encouraged. And I realize that some of these things couldn't be done overnight, and that some people who are working from home maybe didn't have the capability of being fully functional. But I think the spirit was done in the right spirit. We're trying to, you know, limit the contact. And I would just say, and Rick's my friend, but I'm going to say, Rick, you know, in the auditor's office, that probably has the least amount of contact. There's no retail walk-up business there at all that I know of. And in the recorder of deeds office, my understanding was that office was completely closed for at least a few days. And so it's hard to believe someone could rack up that kind of overtime, and especially if that's a salaried employee. I think there are some, you know, I'm a salaried employee, and if I work more than 40 hours a week, I get the same pay. And so, and then with regard to the other comp time, as I guess I would have questions if people can roll it over from one year to the other if they exceed the 24 hours or the 240 hours. And as Mr. Michael said, it seems to me that whether it's paid out in real dollars or into an HSA, which is also, I'm assuming, is real dollars, it's a liability. And this is not a, this is a crisis that's a, it's not only a health crisis, it's an economic crisis, you know, throughout the country. And we're going to be looking at lower sales tax, any number of different, you know, the revenues coming into the county by the end of this fiscal year are going to be less. There is no question about that. And I hate to see, I hope that people just rethink this and that people can go back and look at this and say, okay, and as Mr. Goggins said, is this really even legal? Because some people just have to step up and do their job, even when other people aren't, because we all are, you know, we're all in this together. And I mean, the heroes that I can see, they are. My wife's a nurse, and she was a nurse when the whole HIV, she was an intensive care nurse during the whole crisis when HIV first showed its ugly head. And they had to take universal precautions, which exist to this day. And that's what we have to do with coronavirus, is we have to assume people have it, and you have to stay away from people. But some people's professions don't allow that. And I think maybe there should be some accommodation for hazard pay. But there's probably no way we're ever going to get away from some risk.
no matter what you do, no matter what your job is. But look at the checkers at Schnucks. Look at the, but like I said, the people on the front lines, the x-ray techs, the nurses, you know, the doctors, and you know, I want us to look good to the taxpayers. And I hope people would just take a look at this and maybe say, okay, let's rethink this and let's not have a big brouhaha. I appreciate everybody's job and in the county. I really do. And I think our employees are wonderful. They're great public servants, and I truly mean that. And I appreciate the sheriff's department. I know those guys. Every day there is a risk that they don't come home, and I get that. But this pandemic is different. It's touching everybody, and all we can do is assume that the person that you're standing next to has it. That's my feelings on it, and I would hope that maybe people would maybe take a look at this and say, okay, maybe this isn't the right thing. But this is in my view, this is a liability that will be, whether it's this paycheck, and I agree with you, Mr. Major Connor, it's probably not written properly because it won't hit this paycheck, but it is going to be a liability at some point. And like I said, I just would hope that everybody could maybe take a look at this and maybe hit the restart button. And so that's kind of what I have to say.
Hey, Tom, if I could respond. Could I respond to one of Tom's comments?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, respectfully, and I mean respectfully, we deal with every department in the county, and we've got people coming in and out of here all the time. And I'm not turning in any monetary amount that goes above and beyond what we usually do on the next pay period or the pay period after that or until I leave November 30th. Now, you have my word on that. I'm not going to do that. I think I've proven over the years that my word is my bond. Our employees are hardworking, and I respect everything Tom said. Everything he said is accurate about the employees here and everything else. Don't disagree with any part of his statement. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to turn in any extra monetary reimbursement on this next pay or any pay after that. So that's where I'm at with it. I'm sure probably everybody else is, but I'll speak for myself, and that's where I'm at.
Mr. Moore, I appreciate everybody. There's just the sheriff, everybody's comments, and I get it. But, you know, more than likely, we would not have been having this conversation. It would have all been worked out if Mr. Prenzler and Doug Hume hadn't used this as a political tool for Kurt Prenzler's reelection. And it's unfortunate because I think the one problem that I've noticed in the last 3 years is that there's lack of communication. And I think if some phone calls would have been made, and I think if some people would have sat down and talked, I think a lot of this would have been avoided. But it's just unfortunate that Doug and Kurt are using this as a political tool. Thank you very much. You all have a great weekend.
Thanks, Sheriff. Any more comments from the committee? Okay, the last we stood is that there wasn't a motion to vote on this resolution, so unless something's changed, I believe this motion falls to the floor. It will not be voted on today. All right, then moving on to the agenda. Next item is any unfinished business? Hearing none. Any new business? Hearing none. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion from Mr. Goggin. Do I have a second?
Second.
From Mr. Michael. Second from Mr. Michael. All in favor?
Hey, Don.
Yes, sir.
Before you adjourn, you might want to announce that the public bridge did fill up during this. There were some people trying to get in, so that public bridge was full.
Okay, the public bridge. There were some folks that tried to get into this meeting and were unable to, unfortunately. You know, did we have 50 or 100 lines?
It was still at 50.
50, so we had 50 lines available.
Heard anything.
Unfortunately those folks are not able to dial in.
Yeah, the board office did get a couple of calls of people trying to get in, and they've got a busy signal, or the number was inactive, something like that. So,
Don, I will upload this immediately after we adjourn.
Okay, very good. All right, we have a motion. We have a second. We have all in favor. Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, sir.